It seems to me, from what you're saying, that the most important thing is to arrive at the contenders, that the ones who have a chance.
Right.
Before you, it doesn't matter then. If you don't have the contender in there, the page line doesn't matter.
Exactly right. You have to narrow your field down to the contention today, and then worry about the pace lines for those horses based on what you think. These are the horses that are going to contend for the purse today. Those are the ones that are going to be going for the wire when it counts. So you need the right pace line. You need the right pace line for those five. What's the matchups going to be today, and how is this race going to be run by these five? The others really don't affect the field too much, unless you get some wild early speed in there that's going to affect the early pace.
Do you ever violate your five rule and go with six?
Sure, because sometimes there's six contenders in the field. In stakes races, I put as many as seven and eight horses in, because they're all legitimate contenders in this field today.
I think I have a contender in there, but then I broke every model, I've got fours and five and sixes.
You need to narrow those down some. The pluses and no's really will help you do that. Okay, all right, I guess that's it for me. That was easy.
Well, you did very good. This is a brighter group than yesterday.
Right.
Incidentally, a shortcut on this trouble thing. Tom could give you verbally, and has, I might add, at virtually every meeting we've ever had, and nobody ever wrote him down. So he has to do it again. He was going to take for the follow-up. If you're not subscribing to that, I advise you not to buy anything else until you do that. You've got to make more by subscribing to the follow-up than you will from buying any book. I hate to admit that, but Dr. William Quirin said that. He denigrated all my past efforts by saying this was the best thing the group had ever done. I was going to, for the June issue of the follow-up, do an article which will include every known trouble line, what it means, where it happens. We'll draw a picture of Sarton Downs racetrack here. So if you've confused the quarter pole with the eighth pole, or if you got them toward the finish instead of from the beginning or wherever you suppose they are, he'll show you where it was checked, where it was lugged, where he pulled. Everybody knows trouble in the gate. That's right at the finish line, isn't it? You know, he'll delineate all these things and give you some examples of when it's important, when it's not. But what Bob Birdie says is really the most important aspect of trouble. If the trouble affected the horse, do trip handicapping via the racing form, and you'll tell whether the trouble actually affected the horse's performance. If it didn't, you can't excuse it. A lot of horses function better on a trouble line than they ever did in any other race in their life. And I love it when they say, stumbled at the gate, and he's leading by four at the first. Stumble, baby! You're going to get out there. That's the great one. But Tom probably has, from Milo, who likes everything in the information form of 1, 2, 3, I suppose there's nobody who can do it better than Tom Brohammer, who does it on a regular basis. But he does it, in reality, in a much faster process than he can tell about it. What he's going to tell you may take him, give him 30 minutes. He probably does in reality in 30 seconds.
The reason I start with the last race, I firmly believe that that is the best representation of the horse's current form. If that race can be overlooked for any one of a number of reasons, which we'll talk about, then I'll go to the second race, to the third race, and so on. Now, what I will say is that that last race is the best indication of the horse's form, but if you can get beyond that last race for any reasonable excuses, then you're into a better price category. So keep that in mind when you're handicapping your races. Now, somebody said, is it getting the race down to the right contenders, you know, how important is that on a scale of 1 to 10, if you will? I mean, that is a 10. Because if you haven't got the winner in that group of five, I got to tell you, you're not going to win a lot of races. Somebody asked yesterday, what is the proper format? Do I select contenders and then pick pace lines? Isn't it kind of counterproductive to be picking pace lines on non-contenders? And that is true, it is. And what I will tell you is that the two processes blend together. And that when you're picking contenders, which is the way I approach the game, I pick the contenders, but I always pick them with an eye on the pace lines that I'll select. And in the case of a horse that that you might make a reasonable case for, one of the answers, questions you have to ask yourself in an answer is there a pace line on this horse that I can reasonably put through the computer and come up with anything on it? And so that goes into the contender selection process for me. And that horse obviously would have a lot of O's if you went through the X's and O's or the pluses and O's procedure. So I kind of blended two processes together, and I couldn't really tell you where the dichotomy is. It is, they're apart, and yet they are together. Some valid excuses for not using the last line. I would entertain suggestions from anybody as to what you think might be a valid excuse. Yes, ma'am.
Not using the last line.
Yeah.
An off track? Sure. That's a valid excuse to excuse the last race.
Even if the horse,
I got to tell you, even if the horse shows some affinity for an off track, because there are all kinds of off tracks. I mean, you're going to get some. We're going to go through some right here, and you'll see good, you'll see heavy, you'll see slow, you'll see sloppy. Well, a horse that can run on a good track doesn't necessarily run on a sloppy track, just because of the slick mud that comes back at them. And a horse will discourage, or a horse will get on the lead. There's a horse called Trento we'll look at here in a little while, who's really a dead game horse, but he was allowed an easy lead on a sloppy track about three races back, and he just opened from the gate and continued to draw away. Nobody would go after him. Just picture yourself running along behind that horse throwing that slick mud back at you, and it's discouraging. Okay, so there are all kinds of off racetracks. Yes?
What about a horse that bled the last time?
Bleeding is a... Does everybody understand what bleeding is, what happens to a horse when he bleeds? Anybody know the answer to that? You want me to explain that? You know the answer to that.
They get to running and the lungs fill up with blood for some reason or another.
Yeah,
because of the exertion, is it a medical condition or what?
It is
a
medical condition. Bob, you were going to offer something.
That's it, basically what he's saying. It's a rupture of
blood vessels in the lungs. Yeah, and they fill up with blood, and I couldn't imagine running. I can't run very fast anymore anyway, let alone when I'm bleeding. And that is bled, and then they treat it with a substance called Lasix. And when the horse runs next time out, he's a legitimate contender.
Yeah. Good or bad? Well,
it's good, because it's a sign that the trainer
has figured out, hopefully, what was wrong with the horse. Now, there are different doses of the substance. You can bleed through your Lasix, so it may be a second time before the proper dosage is found. Okay. Don't go overboard on the Lasix thing. I mean, some people have done studies saying the first time out with Lasix, second time out with Lasix, don't let it overpower your figures. Because the one thing it will not do, it will not make a horse run any faster than he's capable of running. Now, the horse that you're considering betting with Lasix, if you've got a line down here that the horse ran very well on, go back and use that line. But don't expect him to run better than his potential. Because it doesn't make him run faster. There's still bone and blood and, yes.
When I've been selecting a pace line, if I see a pace line on a sloppy track, and I'm using those variants that you put out, I see that it doesn't sometimes, a lot of times, it doesn't really make that much of a difference at all.
Well, maybe not the speed of that particular race. Maybe that will come out all right for the winner, but there are certain horses that will run in there that will discourage on that kind of a racetrack. Some horses will take to it. Now, the figure itself might be legitimate, and it might not. All I'm saying is that some horses take to that off track, some don't. Now, there's a horse called Miss Daniella who won here on a sloppy racetrack a few weeks back. And she won off by 6 or 7 lengths. But you draw a line through that sloppy track race, and you can't make her win it, period. So if you find that form, just look at it. Look at any form. And if you find a big win on a sloppy racetrack, just look at the other races surrounding that before and after. And then try to answer that question whether or not the horse moved way up on the sloppy track. Now, my variants try to compensate for the off condition of the track, either fast or slow. Okay, so I compensate that for you, but that doesn't tell any of us as to who enjoyed that kind of a surface or who discouraged on that kind of a surface. Some more, yes?
A horse called Busy Boy yesterday, the last race, the first two calls he was first. Then he started losing lengths and he finished 10.5 lengths out. Mm-hmm. On my Brohendra model, he was my fourth pick. He ran wire to wire, even being that far out, just about a mile and an eighth. Wire to wire.
Let me get that
again. He won yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wire to wire, but his last race, he finished
10.5 lengths out, and from the third call on the form to the other, he lost 7 lengths.
Yeah, let me tell you something about Busy Boy.
That was the subject yesterday. I brought him up. People started talking about matchups. And if you look at Busy Boy, except for 1 7 furlong race in which he ran pretty game off of a layoff, but they came home slow the day he won that race. His other two wins, he has two wins, one at Hollywood Park at 7 furlongs and one at Santa Anita, I think, at 6.5. And both those wins he won powerfully, 7 or 8 lengths. In both cases, the matchup going into that race gave him a full foot per second edge at the first call. Now, that's overpowering. In his other races, he didn't have that edge. Now, he runs a race like that in which he's able to dominate the early going and he keeps going because everybody's discouraged from seeing him way out there comfortably. And he wins powerfully. Now, his next race, in both instances, after that powerful win, his next race, he was heavily, heavily bet. And in neither case did he have that advantage at the first fraction. And he's gone down the toilet several times at short prices. Now, I'd be willing to bet that you say he went wire to wire. I'd be willing to bet that he was just the quickest horse in that field and got brave again. Because he's won at 7 furlongs, drawing away from the field in a case where he had everything to himself. He's just not an honest horse.
He led up to a length and a half yesterday until between the 8th and the 16th pole, and then he had that much left. Mm-hmm. And it kind of surprised me because being that far out the race before, I didn't...
That's because he had
pace pressure and he just doesn't handle it.
His SP and his percentage of early energy wasn't that good.
Sure, but go back
to that 7 furlong race that he won powerfully, or the 6.5, and reconstruct yesterday's race using that, where he was unopposed early. Because he's been a money burner when he's been really heavily bet, most of the time, I should say that. And when he's got pace pressure, he doesn't handle it in that first fraction. And yesterday, obviously, he didn't have that problem. Now, what we're going to talk about a little while later is how to estimate the beaten lengths at the second call, based on your early pace numbers, which is very easy to do. But we're going to talk about that. A gap, I think one of the examples Bobby's got is like a 7 or 8 length gap between the first and the second horses. Now, the winner of that race didn't, or that was Dick's example. The winner of that race did not use that 7 or 8. I mean, the horse wasn't out there 7 or 8 because it had nobody to run with. So they throttle back. Right? That's what happens to Busy Boy. A horse like that will throttle back, and then when it's time to run, the rider will set the horse down, and it's got all that reserve energy and just draws away. Right? No one's opposed it. But that's what you're seeing. And that's part of your handicapping. You've got to be able to handicap around that.
Back next time, you get the same advantage. Nobody's going to pressure him. Then you can bet it. Okay. But if he's going to be pressured...
I've enjoyed betting against Busy Boy for that reason. No, I really have. I mean, because he's a short price and he does not handle that first fraction. Let's go to page 45 in the workbook, 44 and 45. Some of these instances of trouble. We'll start with the first horse who was scratched. Let's look at Fracosa for a moment. And look at the third race back. And don't concern yourself where the horse finished. There's a line through it anyway. Just look at the trouble. Everybody on that page? Off slowly, wide. Now let's talk about that for a moment. Do you suppose that's enough to throw out that race?
No.
Some opinions, huh?
7 furlongs.
Any opinions?
I don't think it's a 2 today.
Throw that race out. That race out. The third one back. If you had a line like that, says off slowly and then wide, throw it out. Picture what happens here. Fracosa. Page 44, top horse, Fracosa, who was scratched in this race, third line back. Just look at the trouble line. And we'll talk about that for a moment. It says off slowly, wide. Okay, I throw that race out every time. And picture what happens when the gate opens, right? The horse is behind the field right away, or the chart caller doesn't notice it enough to say, broke slowly. Because it takes something fairly obvious to draw that comment. Now, you can make some subtle observations out there, but the chart maker does not do that. And the reason he doesn't do that is that you got to fill the page here with, you'd have trouble lines on every horse. If you ever watch a gate open, everybody gets bumped. Virtually no one comes out clean. So when you really get bumped hard, it makes the trouble line. So this horse is noticeably, visibly behind the field. So now he goes wide. Can you imagine what's happening here? The horse is trying to get into the race. It's got some run in him, right? So now he's sitting there on the first turn, because it's a sprint, so he's coming around the turn, and he's coming around the field. So the chart maker has watched the horse now break slowly, noticeably behind the field again, and now he watches him go wide. Now that's significant trouble. You throw that line out, go to another race. Try to visualize what happens on all of these. Now let's take just the comment wide. He knows where all that's happening, where he gets wide, where they would notice that he's wide. Down the backstretch, it doesn't count if he's wide or not, does it? Because they're all running on a straightaway. So guess where he's wide? Sure. Right through there. So So he broke slowly and is in the process of circling the field, so he catches a wide comment from that same chart maker. That's significant trouble on that horse. Yeah. Where is the 3/8 pole? When it says wide 3/8. Right there. Okay. That's pretty serious, wide at that point, because now you begin to lose your action a little bit when you're very wide there. Worse over here, which we're going to talk about in a moment. But you begin to lose your action a little bit. Now, suppose that you have a front runner contesting the pace and he gets a comment wide, 3/8 pole. Is that significant, do you suppose? Now that's the one I'd excuse. A horse that gets wide at the 3/8 pole that is a front runner contesting the pace. Picture the race, right? You've got three or four horses. If the horse is one or two wide, you're not going to get the comment. So now this horse is noticeably wide. Picture three or four horses going down the backstretch like this with the outside horse not being able to get over. Now they enter the turn at the 3/8 pole. Guess where that outside horse is going, trying to set the pace? Okay, that's significant. That horse loses a lot of ground and he's trying hard to get over, not able to take a breather of any kind. He's trying to get over into a position where when they straighten out, he won't lose his action again as they come into the stretch. That's serious trouble for a front runner. Now let's talk about wide again for a stretch runner. Okay, stretch runner like Westboy. Look at the other page, page 45. Look at Westboy. Look at his sixth race back, seventh race back, either one of those, where it says wide into the stretch. Now those weren't good races. But here's a stretch runner, of course it comes from behind. You better not discount the wide, because a stretch runner virtually is wide every time. He's got to get around the field. The rail doesn't open up as a gift very often. When it does, you win for fun, but you better not count on that or you're going to lose most of your play. Now, if this kind of a horse gets a wide comment, it just means he had to go around the field and he'll have to go around the field again. Now, if his figure measures up well, buy into him. He's playable. And then if he does happen to get through on a rail, if it opens up, then you win an easy bet. But don't hurry to excuse wide comments on stretch runners.
Yeah, I was going to say, you should watch a marching band on a football field or something and tell just about how this goes, because the inside guy just barely walks and the outside guy's going like that.
Great analogy. That is really good. I hope that's on tape. I like that. That is great. That is good. Yeah, that's what's happening.
In this issue that's coming out next week is an article by Huey Moll. Tells you the exact amount of feet that a horse in the 12 post has to go from that in the 1. In a subsequent issue, will happen what happens when a horse goes wider, by how much many lengths he goes wide, how that relates to the extra velocity he has to have. All this that you're asking is going to be in the follow-up.
Let's stay with this now. Wide 7/8 turn. How serious do you suppose this is? So 7/8 turn is over here. 7/8 means there's 7/8 of a mile to the finish.
That's serious.
It's worse. It is worse. It is worse. It's enough to eliminate the horse if he catches that comment. First of all, to get that comment, the horse is very wide. It's noticeably wide again, like broke slowly. The problem with the 7/8 turn is that you don't really have a lot of time to recover unless you're so far the best. Because what happens is that everybody's going at a highly accelerated speed. No one's decelerating at this point. So when you go wide, I'll tell you what you do. When a mile race is being run, stand over here and watch the horses when they go around that turn. And I will tell you that the horses that are fanned the widest on this turn are virtually losing their action. And what will happen is that this horse, because these other ones are driving at this point, they're really moving out, right? And what happens is there's just no way to go except to continue out here, because no one's going to budge an inch. Over here, you can sometimes muscle in. Over here, you can't do that. And that's a serious problem, especially when the horse is running at a flat mile and can't get over. By the time the horse is over here to straighten out so he can regain his action, that race is virtually decided as to the first few finishers anyway. When they head for the parking lot, it's over for you. No, but I mean, and Bay Meadows is of all the tracks that I've observed, Bay Meadows is probably the worst of all, that first turn. Because if the... Yeah, well, Pomona, all right. I said track. You're right. Pomona is a disaster. I mean, they blow that first turn, and it's just, unless your ton's the best, you just can't get back into the race even, let alone win it. Bob?
That was what I was going to say. The shorter the circumference of the turn,
but it seemed to make it worse, magnify it, like a Pomona.
It was. Bay Meadows now is a full mile racetrack, but it seems to be, they just do not recover at Bay Meadows from that. Let's talk about bumped at the start. Who would want to excuse a race that the horse earned bumped? Said earlier, it depends on whether it affected the horse's running. If the horse ran what looks to be a normal race, then he ignored that comment. Don't throw the race out. And the way you get a good feel for that is to stand in front of that gate out on the infield at Santa Anita for a few races and watch him come out head on. And if any horse is not bumped, I'll be surprised. I mean, the only horse that's not going to be bumped is when they all go hit each other and the horse that's outside is out there. Nobody's to bump it. There is a lot of bumping out of that gate. Okay. All right. Occasionally one will say bumped hard at the start. Then you can consider that to be a little more serious. And just use your own judgment. How much did it affect the running of that race?
Well,
yes, Michael.
Sometimes.
I've got Bonnie Ledbetter's tape right now, and in the opening credits, the gate opens and the horses come out on the turf course. I mean, nobody says a thing. McCarran's watching it, she's watching it, nobody says a thing, and the horses go like this. One gets pinched, another one gets bumped over here, and away they go, and somebody like Dick Riley will say, Bill Gar will say, and it's a beautiful start. I've seen that so many times, and he'll say that, and you look at it and say, my God, that's horrible. All right? So be careful with that one. Unless it affects the running of that horse, don't be too quick to throw that kind of a race out. You know, make it stand on it. If it's a decent race, accept it. Yes?
What does pinchback mean?
Great. That came up yesterday. I was going to bring that one up next anyway. What do you suppose pinchback means? Okay. Three of us come out of the gate. Yeah, you got it. Three of us come out of the gate together, right? And I decide to make a right-hand turn, and Purdy makes a left-hand turn, and Dick Schmidt, who would be a slow breaker anyway, gets pinched back. That's serious. Because you can't run. Okay? You break your stride. You just can't run at that particular point in time. Now, sometimes horses will recover, get into the race, that's fine. If the horse doesn't get into the race after that, I'd be a little hesitant to throw that out, too, even with that kind of a line. And the reason for that is that how many times have you seen a horse break slowly and yet get into the race somewhere and then hang pretty badly? Now, that's a horse that's full of run. Occasionally, you get a horse that breaks slowly, like, I hope Westboy's got a line like that again. No, he got into his race when he broke slowly both times, so maybe that's not to him. I don't see one right offhand. But anyway, you'll see when it says broke slowly, and the horse won't make any kind of a run in a race. Won't even move around a turn, won't move down a stretch or anything else. Be a little careful in throwing out that race.
The wall of horses, in the sense that he just has nowhere to run. He's not actually fence back because they have to converge in on it, but he has nowhere to go. Does that come with any trouble?
Yeah, the line
is actually blocked. And that's serious. Because the horse can't run. I mean, you just have to hold him. There are several comments like that. There's checked. Okay, there's took up, blocked, and impeded. All right? I'd be quick to throw away impeded depending upon what happened to the horse after that. If the horse is sitting right on the pace at the eighth pole and it says impeded at the eighth, and now he's four lengths behind, throw the race out. If it says impeded and he finished right on the money, use that race, but then mentally note that the horse is better than the figure you just made for him. You follow that all right? Okay, and now if there's a second race back you can use, that's fine. But, I mean, if that happens to also be the best recent race, mentally upgrade that horse's performance in that race then. But sometimes you can deal with that depending on where he's impeded. Occasionally you see them took up at the quarter. I say that's a quarter of a mile to run. I mean, you can throw that race out because he's lost his action completely. When you say take up, that means the jockey had to snatch the horse and it had to stop. Break stride, lose momentum, all of those things. That's serious trouble. Checked, on the other hand, just means that they had to briefly hold him for a moment before they could let the horse go. Then you got to evaluate how serious that was. And again, it comes to how well the horse performed in that race. Yeah?
Most of your impedes are... yes?
Are what?
It doesn't say, but most of the impeded comments happen in the stretch. So just, you're looking at the stretch calls, the finish, you can tell how seriously it affected the horse. And I say both, it's not all the time, but most of your impedes.
Yeah, because what you wind up with is you wind up with took up at the other calls, took up or blocked or something like that, not impeded. The horse is taken up. You've seen, how many times have you seen a rider in a race with no place to go, but running up on a horse's heels? All right, now he's got to snatch that horse, and the horse is noticeably like this. A horse loses its action to some extent, to a great extent possibly, but the horse loses momentum, loses its action. That's a serious problem. Sometimes they recover, sometimes they don't. There's a minor version of that. It's not as serious. It may cost the horse the race, but I mean, it's not as serious a problem. And block just means you have nowhere to go. You just have to hold the horse until you can find a clearing or get out around everybody. Now, impeded means that you just moved right over in front of me and stopped me from running. Okay. You got disqualified. I guarantee you. And if the stewards didn't do an unclean foul against you, I'll have your ass. I'll tell you. But that's what happened. Okay. Let's take a look at some others here. Let's go to Cracksman for a moment. This page is just full of this stuff. Let's look at Cracksman's race on December 24th. Unwilling, that's page 44, I haven't changed. I'm varying between 44 and 45, same race, fourth at San Anita on that day. Let's look at Cracksman's third race back. And it says, unwilling to load, lugged in a stretch. His next race ends on February 1st and you're handicapping that race, in which he ran very well. Now you're handicapping the February 1st race. What do you do with the previous race? Anybody? You're willing to excuse that race, or do you want to you want to make it stand? You want to throw the horse out?
I want to throw the 24th out.
Tell me about the race.
Looks like the horse. I want to know what unwilling to load means. I think it means he didn't want to get in the gate. He didn't want to accept the jockey. There was trouble.
Just exactly what it says. How many? It's when you see a horse out there with about four handlers pushing one way, and the rider beating him on the head the other way, and another guy tugging forward.
Okay.
All right.
That day for whatever reason.
Okay.
And then in the stretch, lugged in means he lugged to the left. In the stretch, he didn't want to run straight for the wire.
You all know what lugging in is?
No.
That's when a horse is favoring to one side. You can see him doing this when they run. Boring in, boring out, serious, because they're going strongly one way or the other. But a horse would be going like this, and it'll look like he's just kind of doing this when he's running or the other, trying to move out in a rider, having to hold him right where he is. That's lugging in or out. Well, see, now that's what we're going to talk about. Okay, now here's... Cracksman is an older, experienced horse. A five-year-old gelding, right? Is he five? Is he older than that? All right, he's an older, experienced horse. He's been around for a while. He was running... He's like me, yeah. Now, he's running in terrific form. In the November, and then he declined slightly on December 3rd, except he's in an $80,000 race, so it's not that big a decline. Now, all of a sudden, he won't go in the gate. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you've got to make a hard stand here. Now, I'll tell you, I happen to win this race, but Cracksman scared me a little bit because he ran better than I thought he would. This day he ran third. And I had some friends at the racetrack, and I made a big point of telling them what I thought was wrong with Cracksman. And then I almost... then I almost ate my glasses. Actually not, because Romax was just flat out finishing him. But nevertheless, he ran very well that day. The unwilling to load lugged in a stretch. Now, here, like I said, it's an older horse, and he starts lugging in all of a sudden. So it's kind of a sign that maybe it's time to back off on him a little bit, give him some time, because he's not quite what he was. The evidence of that, or what I thought was complete support of that, was the fact that he's not back now for a little over a month. Okay, so a month and a week later, what, 37, 38 days later, he's back in another race, and now he's 5-1. Okay, so he didn't get a whole lot of support at the windows either. You know, which, and looking back beyond that, you would think he would. So all of that added up to running a bad race, which he did not run. But nevertheless, what I'm telling you is you've got to be careful with that. Just analyze why an experienced horse all of a sudden is unwilling to load. Now, a week later, I mean, something might have spooked him that particular day. Had he been back in, say, 10 days and fairly well supported, you say, well, okay, well, that was just a bad day for him. But the fact that they didn't bring him back right away. So you've got to analyze it in terms of what everything is around it.
Yes. Why did that line get a plus on the right side and left?
I haven't a clue. I didn't do this. Maybe because... Which line? Oh, because I get... I guess because he was within 2.5 lengths at the second call.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
He finished, what, third?
Seven. No, seven.
He's only beaten 3.5 lengths.
4.75 lengths. Anything within 4.75
lengths
gets a plus. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know that.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the
legend. All right. My personal handicapping would have given out a minus, though, or whatever you would give it, because of the fact that he only beat three horses in that field. So everybody had a chance, and Cracksman wasn't up to it. Anyway, unwilling to load. If you look down a little further on July 30th at Del Mar, same horse. And the race before that, hopped in the air. So you've got Whipped Head at the start on July 30th. On the 18th, he hopped in the air. Now that's a horse that's acting up on, at the gate. Now, the Whipped Head at the start, if you've ever seen him do that, well, that is literally exactly what it says. You just kind of whip your head at the start. And the first thing you do, everybody's over, up here somewhere, and you're running out behind.